Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay. All right, 2 minutes and 22 seconds after the hour of 12, and this the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002. It's Rick Emerson Show along with...
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. That's got it. What the hell was I doing? Along with Tim Riley in the KHK Newsroom, Matthew Peterson, Christina Carlson, the lovely Sarah Dillon joining us as well today. It is Monday. We are live, and welcome to Day 12. A new Infinity working out for you, by the way.
I'm telling you, I had a wonderful weekend with it, except for the time that I mistakenly opened up the moonroof and could not find the button how to close it, and it was like 20 degrees outside.
That's a lot of fun in Portland, where you just... and then it's just the monsoon begins to come inside.
But it has all kinds of cool stuff in it, like, say, you want 72 degrees in the car at all times, you just punch in 72 degrees, and if somebody opens the door and the temperature lowers, it automatically sucks in all the hot air again.
Seriously, Bruce's car is like that too. Bruce Agler, our, what do we call him? Obi-Wan Kenobi, our program director. He's got the greatest car, but it's like as soon as you ride with him, it's so disheartening and dispiriting because you realize the pay difference between your job and his. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter who you are. Could be me, could be Matt, could be Tim, could be the guy that comes, cleans out the, you know, the pee trough, everything.
Could be all of us combined.
Could be all of us combined. You get in Bruce's car, and he's got the OnStar thing, too. The, you know, at the next light, take a right. You know, and you just, I don't have this. And he's got the full-on temperature control, the big old, like, plush seats. Get in there, and you got the big ass groove going on with your backside. Yes. The seats are, you know, just got the plush. Nothing.
What's the funny thing is that he walks to work.
Well, it's because he only lives like... It's because he lives like 14 feet away.
I know, but I feel bad that he doesn't.
Which is more evidence of the fact that he's got more money than me. Well, this is the definition of having too much money. This is what it means to be an American. It's to be able to buy a nice car that you then no longer need to use. Because either A, you've got somebody drive your ass somewhere, or you live in like, you know, Swank Town, which is like across the street there. Where everybody in this building lives but me, by the way. Except for us. We're the only ones.
And me.
Like, that's what I'm saying. The people in this room, everybody in the rest of the building lives in these nice tower apartments. It's about 100 yards from here. We all live in like, you know, somewhere. I live in like Tualatin, you know, or just... or someplace not even that nice. Just sad.
I mean, this Infiniti G35 2003 model is worth more than my house. And the neighbors are so jealous. They walk by the other, one of them was, well, why don't I just go total my car and they'll give me an Infiniti G35.
Are you going to get jacked on the way to, on the way out to, like, get a bagel in the morning? All right, let's have the car. I'm surprised they let you park that thing at your house.
Isn't it incredible? Well, I moved the, what did I used to drive before I wrecked it? The Escort over. It's going to be a lot of fun going back to your Escort someday, by the way.
I know.
Drive it this, and then you get that, what did I think? You're going to have the Navigator? A $65,000 Navigator with the drop-down DVDs and everything.
It's going to be a lot of fun to go back to your Ford. That won't be a step down.
It was. By the way, this is a Motor Trends Car of the Year. The 2003 Infiniti.
Like, suddenly you're Richard Petty. Suddenly you just... Like, last week you didn't want to put the gas into the car. This week you're suddenly both click and clack. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, Richard Nunn from the WB is going to be here. Another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. As we continue our pursuit of finding out the top five musical groups in the opinion of everybody on the show today, we'll have Matt Peterson's top five musical acts of all time. That's coming up. Another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential and info on... This Friday, right? This Friday's Toy Drive. Where
it really
come
is this
see us, it'll be last opportunity to see Christina before she leaves for the great Bend Beyond as well. So all of that's coming up. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by Folgers. Now there's another way to enjoy the best part of waking up. Folgers Cafe Latte is a rich, frothy, creamy coffee treat. It comes in delicious flavors like vanilla vibe, mocha fusion, and caramel groove. Well, fewer hassles for airport travelers at PDX. Remember all those parking spaces were off limits due to the terrorists? Well, we don't want the inconvenience anymore, and we'll take the risk. So they have been reopened so you can park where you didn't used to be able to park.
Give me convenience or give me death.
Yep, we'll take convenience anytime. So, Grandma... We'll have two or three steps less to take.
Okay, while we're clearing up parking spaces, can we clear up those damn parking things downtown with the red hoods over them that are never in use by anyone?
Yeah, what is that anyway?
They're never being used by anyone. No. These spaces are all reserved for cops and other court personnel, which would be fine with me if they were ever being actually utilized for that purpose, but they're not. They're just sitting there taking up space, could be used by honest, decent, hardworking people trying to park somewhere to get to the mall or whatever. And you know the ones I'm talking about. And they got the... It's like, why do they even have the parking meter there? You know what I mean? Why don't they just remove the meter and just red out that zone rather than taunting you by putting a meter there and then covering it up?
And even the handicap can't park there.
A bunch of weasels.
It's horrible. Anyway, hundreds of hatchery-bred coho salmon are taking the wrong turn this season, entering the Rogue River, where workers mistakenly count them as the threatened wild rogue coho. The string fish are reared in Northern California. When they reach the Gold Ray Dam of the Rogue River, however, they're counted as wild rogue coho. Apparently, this is the first time...
I don't understand anything in this story.
No, the fish are turning the wrong way and ending up in the wrong river.
It's because they got the brain the size of a pea.
Well, I mean, some people are suggesting what to do. Maybe somebody from, you know, Fish and Game can stand there with a bullhorn and say, you're going the wrong way.
I think some answer involving dynamite is called for. But let me talk to you about the most boring, tedious job on planet Earth.
Counting coho.
Have you ever... Well, have you... Seriously, have you ever been there? You ever gone up to... Is it John Day? What's that dam? Where you go watch
Bonneville
the salmon
there.
Counters. Is it Bonneville?
Bonneville.
Yeah, where you go and there's the fish ladder, which we used to go. This is how exciting my childhood was. That was the highlight of our summer every year, was going to see the fish go up the ladder at the Bonneville Dam. That was like the peak of our... I don't know where you all went on summer vacations with your family. If you all went to Disneyland or, you know, if you're Christina's family, you went to France or what. I don't know where
you
went.
We went to Hawaii a lot.
I'm so glad when you're gone.
I'm more fans of Mexico than Hawaii.
See, my mom grew up in Hawaii.
A lot better climate.
I swear to God, I'm coming in with a gun one of these days, and I'm going to hose a lot of you. And I'm not going to feel one twinge of guilt about it. I'm not going to feel bad about it at all. But the highlight of our summer vacation every year was going to see the fish climb up a goddamn ladder at the Bonneville Dam. And it's like the first 20 times you've been there. What else? What are you expecting to see that's new there after the second or third time? There's nothing.
It must be hard to climb up a ladder when you're so slippery.
Well, there's that, yeah, sure. It's not really a ladder so much as it is sort of a, it's like some steps. You all have been there, right? You've seen
the
fish.
I have not. I'd love to go count fish.
It actually is kind of interesting if you go, I went for the first time in about 10 years last year because Laura had never seen it, and she was, you know, fish climbing a ladder, go on, you know, and so we had to go. Then they kind of hop up these steps. It's kind of cute, actually. But then you go down below the level of the dam, and there's these big-ass windows you look through, and you see these fish, and they're huge. I mean, they're just massive. that these salmon come by, they're like 3 feet long, and there's some guy with a clipboard, sits there all day, and that's his job. Chinook, sockeye, sockeye, coho, and that's all he does all day long, like 8 hours in a row.
So you're probably not allowed
fish.
You're probably not allowed to talk to him because he loses count.
No, they put it. He's like ensconced in this little glass room. You can't even get to him. He's like in a small little glass cage by himself where you can't interfere with his counting.
He must go home and like beat his kid.
Exactly. Goes home and drop kicks his terrier into the next
What's
yard.
What's for dinner tonight? Fish? No.
Oh, maybe he's Catholic and doesn't have them on Friday.
No. You have fish on Friday.
Oh, that's
Catholic.
Right. Darn it. Good Catholic I am. Okay, so let's catch up on what happened over the weekend. A woman the last time we checked is in serious condition after falling at least 40 feet from an outdoor smoking terrace at the Rose Garden during a Trailblazers game. Yeah,
that's what you get for smoking.
Yep. She was unconscious and complaining of leg pain, which isn't bad for falling, 40 feet.
Oh, yeah, running 40 feet, my leg hurts.
I got off light.
Anyway, it would have been worse if she hadn't hit the fence on the way down.
It's going to be worse when she's in a cancer ward someday. That's what's going to be worse.
All that for a cigarette.
I can't feel my leg. They had to cut off my legs due to lack of circulation. That's going to be your leg pain in like 35 years, sister.
And a fire at the YMCA in downtown Salem over the weekend forced more than 100 shivering swimmers outside on a Saturday night. These are a bunch of people with bellies hanging down to their feet, clad only in a soaking wet towel. They wouldn't let them in for 2 hours. So it happened around 4:30 when somebody put a towel up on top of the sauna heater. People should know that starts fires. And it did. Cost $5,000 worth in damage. It's going to be closed for a period.
Okay, what is the thing in the sauna where you're not supposed to use chlorinated water? Is that what it is? You're not supposed to use water with chlorine in the sauna? You know what I'm talking about?
That's probably a good idea not to.
Is that because it kills you or something?
Well, because,
you go there, the
hot rocks, the element there.
But there's always certain water you're supposed to use. Yeah, but there's certain water they leave there you're supposed to use, and there's other water you're not supposed to touch. And
well, if you're using water that's got chlorine, and you get all the chlorine vapors and everything in the air, you'd be breathing all that in.
See, but I don't understand why you can... See, this has never made any sense to me. I'm not disputing that that's the case. I've never understood why you can drink chlorine, but you can't breathe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, your ass can drink chlorine all day long. Doesn't you do chlorine in the water right now? It comes out of the tap. Chlorine is... drink swimming pool water. Doesn't do anything to you, really. You can't breathe it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I don't really think you're probably supposed to drink the water out of the swimming pool. The amount of chlorine that's in the water that comes out of your tap is almost non-existent to the amount of chlorine that's in the pool.
It's all very confusing.
It is. The fourth season of HBO's The Sopranos ended with Kamala Soprano tossing her mob boss husband out of the house after she was tipped to his philandery by one of his scorned girlfriends.
Oh, man, that was the good stuff last night. Who saw The Sopranos last night?
Don't say a word. I'm not going to see it until today.
Well, we can't just eschew the story because your lame ass didn't get to the... Where were you?
I was busy. I was watching football, so...
No, well, screw you. You get the spoilers. You don't.
No, don't spoil too much.
If you were off on a date or something, I might be willing to cut you some slack. Maybe you're watching football instead, because Lord knows there'll never be another opportunity to see football games. That's never going to come around again.
Well, anyway, season four of the series got some mixed reviews from the fans.
I was expecting people to get whacked. Nobody got whacked. Left me waiting for more. I'll definitely watch the next season.
So you're still a devoted fan?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I like the show a lot. It's a good show.
I mean, here's the thing, is that there's no big spoilers to reveal. I mean, maybe that's the spoiler. The spoiler is that there are no real spoilers. Nobody gets whacked. That's the thing. But we pretty much, Carlin told us as much last week, though, because he said that he liked the direction the show was going, where it didn't have to build to this big paroxysm of violence. It didn't have to build to this gigantic catharsis. So nobody gets whacked. And it's not even really a spoiler. See, this is the thing about The Sopranos, is... With the exception of an episode like where the one where Ralphie gets his head cut off, there aren't a lot of spoilers typically. It isn't really about the things that happen in the show. It's not really about events. It's about how people respond to them. And that's not really a spoiler so much as it is just, you've got to watch the acting. So the only thing that happens of any note, and it's not even a gigantic spoiler because we've known about this for weeks, is that Carmela finds out about Tony and the Russian chick. That's the only thing that happens. But Carmela's known that he's been a weasel for a long time anyway. So, but there's this scene. It's 75 minutes, for one thing. It's a longer episode. But there's this scene between Carmela and Tony that is just... Man, it's just stunning. It's just,
I just wouldn't shut up about it this morning.
Oh,
so.
It was great. And especially, like a lot of people, I feel that this season's been lacking in the sort of dramatic punch. The only really good dramatic moments that have come this season are the ones where Tony and Meadow are going at it hammer and tongs, because Jamie Lynn Sigler and James Gandolfini got a real great chemistry together. But last night, man, there's this like 15-minute scene with Carmella and Tony that is just, it's brutal. And it's almost painful to watch. It's so well done. But it totally makes you salivate for next season. So I'm looking forward to seeing what... And there is... It's not a spoiler, but Carmella does something, which I will not reveal. Carmella does something that you don't see coming. Because they're having this gigantic fight, and she does something, and you're like, whoa!
I already heard that on IMS this morning, so you can give that one away.
About Furio. She tells Tony about Furio. And Laura and I do this thing, and I don't know if you all do this, but it's like if you watch a lot of shows that are sort of traumatic, I don't mean dramatic, I mean traumatic, where it's like you feel like the guy behind the show is sitting there punching you. It's like you feel like you're on the chair and the guy is going after your head with a crowbar. And Laura and I will sit there, and it's like when you're watching a horror film, when you're looking through the half-closed fingers, you know, you're like peeking through your hands. And that's how we are last night, because Carmella starts in with a, well, let me tell you about me and Furio. And Laura and I are like, no! You know, it's just horrible. It just, you feel like they've just been going over your brain with a cheese grater by the end of it. It's just, anyway.
Look what's coming up. Mark it. I have to mark this on my calendar, too, because Thursday, the 18th, you know what that is? Elijah Wood and a cast of thousands return to the big screen with the second installment of a trilogy, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
When is that?
18th.
So it's a week from this Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
All right. Excellent.
Anyway, Elijah talked about the opportunity to play a character that changes so much.
You get the opportunity to take a character from, you know, the beginning of their sort of a very innocent kind of pure place, certainly for Frodo.
Has he developed an accent?
You know, all the way across three films to a very negative kind of tortured place. And for me, that was an incredible opportunity and a great challenge.
All right. And the only opportunity to hear that really matters is the fact that you can milk this for the rest of your life. This is the great thing about getting a job in the sci-fi or fantasy genre, is that, man, you can ride that thing, that gravy train, for the rest of your life at those sci-fi conventions. You can be like 85 years old. It's like, what's his name? Alec Guinness, Obi-Wan Kenobi. That guy hated all the Star Wars films, just hated them.
Mark Hamill.
Yeah, well, he kept it. Well, that's the thing is, Mark Hamill, I had Mark Hamill on my show one time. This is back when I was in Utah for 3 hours. We had him on the air for 3 hours as a guest, and he was ostensibly there to promote this comic book called The Black Pearl that he was creating. I was like, nobody cares about that. I just want to ask him Star Wars questions. But that guy got 3 hours. He got a 3-hour infomercial on my show, 180 minutes of advertising for his comic book, because everybody wants to talk to him about being Luke Skywalker. You get a job in Lord of the Rings, Star Trek, Babylon 5, Xena, any of those things. You can live the rest of your life just on what you charge for an autographed picture at those sci-fi cons. You know what I mean? All right. I didn't just use the word con, because that would make me geeky. Here's Charles in Portland. Yo, Charles.
Yo.
What's up, man?
There was a whacking on The Sopranos last night.
No, there wasn't. Who got whacked?
That was the two black guys got whacked.
Oh, but they don't care. They're not mean.
Well, it was a mini whacking, but it was a whacking.
And you didn't see it coming either. It was a big surprise.
Yeah.
You didn't see that coming anywhere. Yeah. And the other news is, of course, Christopher is out of rehab and is clean and sober, but of course it's not going to last. Should never last. All right. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up here in just a few, we got a Gore Watch followed by, what the hell? We have Jim Roop today? Yeah, Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here. We got more of your phone calls as well. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. Also, Matt Peterson's top 5 musical acts of all time, Rick Emerson's Office Confidential, and another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. So you don't want to miss any of it. Stay here. We'll be back. It's Hot Talk 1080 KFTK.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. Who's this? All right, here's Christina with the traffic.
Are you saying that because there's two of us here, or
well,
because you've already forgotten who
I am? Well, because Sarah's hair is still, I know she's ostensibly putting it back red at some point, but it's still kind of blonde. as of today, and so I can't tell the two of you apart.
We just look too much
You guys
alike,
sit right next to each other, and it's just like the mirror has two faces.
See, well, that'll be easy then, because next week, you know, when I'm not here, she'll show up, and it'll just be,
it'll
like
be a smooth transition.
It'll be a smooth transition.
It'll be like I'm bewitched. We'll just move one Darren out, move the other Darren in.
There you go.
We just call her Christina. It'd be a lot easier mentally for all of us.
I don't know if she'd like that.
Yeah, all right.
That wouldn't be
not about what she likes.
This is very true. Disabled.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Subject line, on the beginning of Christina's slow descent into alcohol-induced madness. Hey, dude, I was just looking at the Employment Department website for jobs in Bend for Christina. I found a kick-ass announcer-producer job for her in Warm Springs. It pays $7 an hour, requires no experience. Or she could just save time and kill herself now. Can't you guys do an intervention or something to save her? I tried. Well, let me talk to you about interventions. I don't like 15 different interventions. And all it succeeded in doing, by the way, is blowing the way. I mean, I'm not training Sarah to do the traffic sponsorship that way. Here's my impression of Christina's last traffic sponsorship. This traffic is brought to you.
It wasn't that
crash
bad.
Crash and burn.
It was not that bad.
So why don't you teach Sarah to emulate your traffic in exactly that style, just to replicate your flaws exactly.
Well, it's not like she has to know it for like a long period of time. She's just filling in until you find somebody, so.
Right. Yeah. Whatever you say, sister. So it's Monday, you know, if I hear her coming on Monday and she starts blowing the traffic every time, I'm going to know where she learned it from.
But she only has to do it for a week.
She only has to do it, but she has to do it this week with you here, but then on Monday she has to do it. So.
But I know, but she only has to do it next week for like a week until you find her replacement.
She is the replacement. We told you that like months ago.
Well,
when you first started jabbering about this, when you started talking about this going to Ben nonsense,
minute,
we told you it was her.
Okay, so you had auditions all last week, and you were planning to give Sarah the job the whole time?
I told you, Sarah. Matt and I told you, weeks ago it was going to be Sarah.
Yeah, really. We knew, like, the day after you told us you were leaving, we knew it was Sarah that was taking this.
Why did you bring in all these girls?
Well, like... There's some rule we can't bring chicks in to look at them.
So you brought...
Like, I'm doing this job for the money.
Okay,
I don't think so.
So you brought unemployed women into your station, had them read the traffic. I had to train them how to read a traffic.
Well, they're the most vulnerable.
And they could never, ever get the job, because you'd already filled it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So those are horrible people. That is a horrible thing to do.
Please, come on. Like, you didn't know weeks ago when we were sitting in Bruce's office, we were talking about Sarah probably being the heir apparent. We said that on the air.
I didn't know that.
But how about you? Where were you? We were in the office. You were there.
Well, how do you think that makes her feel?
Yeah, you're probably
that you're bringing in all these girls and that she's the choice the whole time, but
well, probably makes her feel pretty good. She's got a job.
Oh, please, like we were going to give the job to, you know, like we were going to give the job to the nun. I mean, that like we'd ever get any work done around here then.
You guys are horrible,
like we'd ever be able to concentrate or focus on our jobs with some nun in a low-cut blouse walking around. I don't think so. You should know better than that.
So I do understand now why you wouldn't let any men come in to actually audition for the job, because you'd already filled it with another female.
Because that's what I want, a big sausage fest in here while I'm trying to do the show. I don't think so.
Whatever.
Don't your ass acting all innocent, out of the loop, like you didn't know it was the case.
I was out of the loop. Okay. I was never told about this.
Well, you were told. You sat in Bruce's office with us while we talked about Sarah being the most likely one to step in. Just because we were having the chicks in last week to audition, that didn't override our previous discussions.
I would think that you could see where I would be confused.
Oh, please. Like, I have to spell everything out for you. You should be able to read between the lines. We're men. You've been around us long enough.
I have been around you long enough. And how many times have I forgotten something? Yeah. Very, very rarely. So I thought I was never told about this.
Okay. Whatever you say. Okay. Coming up here in just a moment, we've got a gore watch. This, however, is our man in Los Angeles.
I love everybody.
Like I've just got her in here for my health. All right. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I don't have the sort of family rift you have going
please.
On there.
I'm surrounded by puny brains everywhere. I'm just surrounded by treacherous fools. I feel like, Procutio, or what's his name, is going to stab me through a curtain. Anyway, what's up in the great city of Angels?
Oh, you name it, man. You missed a great sentencing with Winona Ryder on Friday. That was beautiful. That was a show in itself. That was worth the wait.
Oh, and this whole thing that she stole like $6,000 worth of merchandise and had some drugs on her she wasn't supposed to have, and apparently the previous shoplifter, and she gets a day suspended and some probation.
Right. Well, she has to do a lot of community service,
oh,
and
please.
She has to have it finished by April 7th.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just her attorney, Mark Arias, tried to paint her as a humanitarian for a number of things, her work with the American Indians and for her work with the Poly Class Foundation. But still, I mean, she's a felon, man.
Yeah,
she stole the stuff. Does it excuse her from her crime?
Yeah, I'm sure that it has nothing at all to do with the fact that she's a rich white celebrity. I'm sure that a lot of poor black folks who are convicted of stealing $6,000 get a day of,
suspended sentence.
It happens. There are guys in California, they steal a package of Keebler Soft Batch, and they're in the penitentiary the rest of their life, man.
Third strike victims.
God.
I tell you, even the judge asked her the question that his 16-year-old son asked him, why would Winona Ryder steal $6,000 worth of merchandise when she very well had the money to pay for it?
Clearly because she's mental.
That's exactly what he said. He said you have some problems to address.
Yeah, she's obviously mental. Did you see, there was the best part of the Winona trial was that when the prosecutor told her to quit whoring the dead body of that Poly Class girl.
Yeah.
Because
she stood up.
Yeah, because she said that Winona Ryder's been doing all this with the Poly Class Foundation, which was that girl in New Jersey, I think it was, that was kidnapped and killed. And anyway, but the prosecutor basically said, you've been whoring the body of this poor dead girl for a year trying to look like Mother Teresa. Get off it. And Winona Ryder stands up, and for a minute I thought she was going to go over there and give her a sock.
Yeah, we all did. We all thought, all right, cat fight. That would be great.
Yeah, baby, that's what I was looking for. And then, unfortunately, we had to just do like a pay-per-view Battle of the Celebrity Boxers thing with them. I'd watch that. Hey, you, now you had to go to this god-awful, this hideous People's Choice thing?
Yeah, the nominations came out last week. I mean, I'm surprised this thing lasted 29 years.
Let me ask you, what people wear? They never asked me about that.
You know, I never hear about the voting until the nominations come out. I don't know how they do it. It must be online somewhere, but for the past 29 years, I mean, that's a long time, and there hasn't been the computer voting that there has been, you know, the past couple of years, where this comes from, I have no idea.
I'm pretty plugged into pop culture. The People's Choice Awards, never once have I been chosen to be one of the people ever, so that's why it's always so bad. I mean, I don't even know who's nominated, but it's probably the same crap it always is.
There's nobody new.
Probably Jennifer Lopez and Michelle Branch and U2 and a bunch of crap.
Jennifer Aniston, Patricia Heaton, all those. There are new shows because there's a new show category like Bernie Mac and Cedric the Entertainer and that kind of thing. But it is nothing new. I mean, you could rerun last year's tape and nothing will change.
So they ought to do that one year just to see if anybody notices. Just a bunch of dreck. This is nothing. On to something else. This is a little more hideous. It's business of United. Is United definitely filing for bankruptcy now?
They have, yeah. That's about 4 o'clock this morning Pacific time.
And it's the biggest, airline bankruptcy ever?
Ever.
And so that's going to screw how many people come this holiday season?
Sure. Well, none this holiday season, but shortly thereafter, there'll be a lot of people losing their jobs, I guarantee it. I mean, you're talking, this company lost $4 billion over the past 2 years, for heaven's sake.
It's beginning to look a lot like Enron. All right, so it's just a bad scene. Let's move to another country.
Yeah, Sweden, they seem to be all right over there.
And they got those hot chicks there and beer that's like 12% alcohol.
Yeah, and 12 cents a glass, too.
Yeah, there you go,
we should have auditioned some Swedish girls for Christina's job.
Swedish girl.
Yeah, but you don't count. You're traitors.
You're leaving.
When we fire Sarah, we'll get some Swedish girls. All right, it's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. There you go. It's 1-800-727-5955.
I didn't know Sarah was going to be coming in and taking my job.
She's just trying to be all down with this sisterhood and defending the women and so forth. That's all that is. Let's see. Jesse, Portland, you're on Hot Talk 98.2K. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What do you got, man?
I just wanted to call and say thanks for allowing me to come in last week.
Oh, is this Jesse that dropped off the video game for Matt? Matt's got like his own side business here where people just... there ought to just be a company called Give Matt Stuff Incorporated. Give Matt a bunch of free swag.
And I want to tell you something real quick.
Yeah.
You guys really do work with probably the most beautiful women in radio.
I'm telling you, man, we are the exception that proves the rule about radio women all looking like gutter pigs.
Exactly.
Because the women on the show are all hot, but women everywhere else in radio, just a bunch of wildebeests. It's sad.
Everybody needs to go to the toy drive to see Christina before she leaves.
That's what I like to hear. There's that plug I'm talking about. All right. 1-800-727-5955. Here's Tim Riley.
Top of the Gore Watch.
Here's your Al Gore Watch from Monday.
Domo, what he got for Mr. Roboto? Domo.
Domo.
Domo. Domo, what he got for Mr. Roboto?
Domo.
Well, Al Gore said he doesn't believe Iraq's weapons declaration is truthful in suggesting the nation doesn't possess any weapons of mass destruction.
You know, they got kind of two policies going down the parallel tracks there, and they have to decide at the end of the day which one they're going to take. But the president decided to change course and to go to the United Nations, and now there is ambiguity in the way the rest of the world interprets
that
resolution compared to the way some in the White House are trying to interpret it.
Can I just tell you, I'm tired of people starting sentences with "at the end of the day." Just stop. Shut up. I heard some, there's some new hideous country song out now that, can I just tell you this too? Here's another thing.
Yeah.
Anytime some phrase or slogan or catch phrase enters the popular lexicon, you can just start your Seiko and it's going to be like 13 seconds until there's a country song with that as the hook. Because there's some new song, "at the end of the day," you know, it's just, and as soon as they, as soon as some new slogan, I'm surprised there isn't a song called, like, "What You Talking About, Willis," or something. Because that's the whole country music method, is just to wait for some stupid slogan and then make it into a song. Or like, a bumper sticker.
Oh, like "Mama Says Something."
Exactly. Exactly.
Have you heard the Starbucks country song?
Oh, God.
It talks about this guy being in line at one of the 9 Starbucks in Portland, or some, or more than that Starbucks in Portland, and it's just...
Is it in Portland?
You know how when you work at a radio station, they'll like...
They'll do custom versions.
Yeah. So he talks about being in line at this Starbucks and falling in love with this girl who happened to be getting the same coffee he does. And...
Oh, God. Just makes you want to jab out your ears with a dull spatula. All right, here's, what are we doing, Gore Watch?
The White House is giving out false information that Al-Qaeda has a link to Saddam.
The assertion that Al-Qaeda, run by Osama bin Laden, is virtually the same
thing. This is completely edited. You can hear them clipping it together.
As Saddam Hussein in Iraq. There's no evidence that's been presented for that. It appears not to be true.
No.
And then he says, well, the economy's bad. We have to do something.
I offered the president 2 bits of advice on the economy. First, scrap his economic team, and second,
I'm
scrap
sure
his economic
team. W was all about taking advice from Al Gore at this point.
Advice, but he
wouldn't take advice from Al Gore on how to get a ketchup stain out of your tablecloth these days. Al Gore, and in fact, at this point in history, if Al Gore offered you advice, wouldn't you do exactly the opposite? Like, if Al Gore came and suggested something, wouldn't you act in a diametrically opposed fashion? Turn left, taking a right. You know, just as soon as Al Gore says something, you just know that that's not the thing you got to do. Is that our Gore Watch?
That's our Gore
There's
Watch.
There's your Gore Watch for Monday. You know.
Domo, what he got for Mr. Roboto? Domo.
Domo.
Domo. Domo, what he got for Mr. Roboto?
Oh. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Oh, we got Kurt here in just a minute. Is he calling from New Jersey? The hell is that about? All right. So we got Kurt here in a moment about celebrity boxing. More of your phone calls coming up later. How Chicks Think, another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. Top 5, later Richard Nunn from the WB, and all that. All right, here's the lovely Jeanette Napolitano and Concrete Blonde. We're back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
You just like to have plausible deniability. That's your whole thing.
No.
You like to be able to sit there and go, "I didn't know that we were just bringing in these girls to ogle them.
Okay.
Matt and Rick never tell me anything."
No, let's just think about this. If we were sitting in a meeting and you said, "Okay, let's hire Sarah, but let's bring a bunch of girls," don't you think I would have piped up during the meeting
had
I been there?
Well, which is why we didn't phrase it exactly that way. That's the sort of thing that human resources tends to frown upon.
Well, I would imagine so.
That's like you can never actually say, "Look, if they don't put out, they get out." I mean, you can't put it that way. You've got to sort of...
So you're saying that you said it in such a clever way that you cloaked it that I didn't hear it.
It's not my fault you're not paying attention.
I get it.
Here's Christina with the traffic.
Hey,
call now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Subject line, things to do in Bend. Rick, there's only two things to do in Bend. Bowling and bawling. I hope for John's sake Christina gives up bowling. Remember, Christina, God is the one who provides. He clearly wants you to live in a trailer. Draw your own conclusions. Later, Doug. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Hey, we were just talking about stuff like this. Eight men have been treated at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle for exposure to chlorine. They had nausea and watery eyes after breathing fumes from an over-chlorinated pool at 24-hour fitness.
Do you ever drink a lot of that pool water when you were a kid and then you feel all nauseous and your stomach feels all squishy later?
Yeah, but you do live.
Yeah.
No, the rest of us were smart enough not to drink the pool water.
No, but by accident. Like if you start to drown or something. Or...
Yeah.
All right, anyway. Maybe it's just me.
Well, it's Anna Nicole meets Sex in the City. HBO presented Cat House, a visit to the Moonlight Bunny Ranch last night. One guy who brought his wife wanted a menage a trois.
Well, can I look at what you guys have so I can see what, you know... I've never done this before, so I'm not sure. You know, you're explaining stuff like that, but I... Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound creepy and icky at all. Jesus. Do you ever notice there's some things that can make sex just look completely unappealing and like something you'd never want to do? I was talking to Kim about that this week. We were talking about Linda Lovelace.
Yes.
Because it looks like Angelina Jolie is going to play Linda Lovelace in the Deep Throat movie, the movie of Linda Lovelace's life. And it's like, have you ever seen Deep Throat, the movie? It's just the most unappealing, like, sex just looks so revolting afterwards. You're like, sex is gross. I never want to do that. That's what some of these shows, it's like these brothels they look like. It just makes it look like something completely revolting and something you'd never even want to consider.
Well, ranch manager Dennis Hoff says one of his girls makes $2,000 an hour.
Well, and that's an example. You know, you can spend as little or as much in the Bunny Ranch as you want.
Is this the guy that invited us to the Pimps and Hoes birthday ball?
She's the most photographed penthouse pet ever.
Yeah.
She's on the stands right now as a Hustler centerfold, and she's a VCA contract girl. It's a trophy hunter's dream.
Yeah. Jesus, that sounds really creepy. Yeah. I mean, even by guys, tips you to trophy hunter's dream. Yeah. You can hit her in the head with a shovel when she's not looking. And just a whole, by dint of being in Hustler, I gotta just say this, God love nudity and all that, but Hustler is just, I can't read Hustler, it's just sleazy. And I know that sounds strange coming from me.
There's nothing to read.
No, but Hustler women are all kind of skanky and everything, you know what I mean? It's like the Hustler women are those...
Surprise, surprise, I mean, come on.
Well, no, but I mean, you look in Playboy, and women in Playboy are not sleazy. Women in Penthouse are typically not sleazy, they can be, ever since... Penthouse got into this whole business of chicks peeing. Have you noticed that? Like, when did that start become, like, when did that become something guys want to see? No, thank you. But Hustler women, it's like, they're like women you want to have the lights off and, like, the blinds tightly drawn to avoid even the smallest crack of light falling upon their hideous figures. That's exactly what Hustler women are like. You know what I mean? Where you just sex with your eyes closed because you don't want those memories coming back to haunt you in the dark hours. What are we talking about?
Cat House, which presented Thrills and Chills.
Yes.
McRib is back. Just kidding.
And there's also something that's so compelling. They caught Divine Brown from the Divine Brown Hugh Grant,
God.
Her pimp, on camera trying to steal one of our girls.
And okay.
And for a minute there, I was scared. I thought we ruined our perfect record.
McRib is back.
I had one of those moments at our Christmas party. You kind of caught me on that. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. So on Friday, it wasn't really a Christmas party, but we were doing this thing where we decorate the tree in the lobby. It was this
festive holiday office spirit thing.
But in the conference room, they had a bunch of, like, you know, plates of, like, Christmas crap. And so Christina and I are walking in there, and there's, like, these shortbread cookies, which I guess are, like, the greatest shortbread cookies ever. And so we're walking in, and literally, this is what I hear. Do. What's the name of the shortbread?
Walker's Shortbread.
Walker's Shortbread is back. Like, it was totally a Jack Osborne moment. It's like you were channeling him. All right, Kurt, what's up with you?
Hey, man. I work out at the Grand Avenue Club. You were talking about Tonya Harding. I think we should set up a fight, celebrity fight.
So she can kick my ass?
No, not you. We'll put Matt in a dress.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Matt can bring one of his dresses from home.
I know.
Yeah.
I'd say we set up a fight.
I'm having
it
home. They're all the cleaners.
I'm sorry, what was that, Kurt?
I say we set up a fight for one of the listener parties.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that. I'm a huge fan of that idea. Get Tanya, beat somebody's ass, like, let's say, Matt. And so what is it? He says you're from New Jersey, or you're in New Jersey. What is that about?
Well, I'm from New Jersey, but my manager and Ed Milberger, my trainer, are from Portland.
Oh, so you're a fighter. You're a boxer.
Yeah. Well, excellent. I used to be Golden Gloves. Now I coach the kids, and instead of them captain somebody in St. John's, we get them into the gym.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is it possible to punch someone in the nose and kill them by driving their nose into their brain, or is that just a myth?
Actually, if you do an uppercut, you can snap the neck. You can do it with uppercuts. I've seen it done.
Really?
I got some tapes if you want to see it, but it's pretty brutal.
Of a guy getting his neck snapped?
Oh, yeah. I got tons of tapes of that.
Oh, we totally want to see that. Matt?
I'm all over. Yeah, that's like, get some popcorn and kick back.
Yeah, actually, I'll put you on hold here. You can talk to Matt. We'll drop that off or something, or we'll do something. Yeah, I'm with that. All right.
That sounds wonderful.
here's Christy in Portland.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, yeah, I'm Car Stereo Joe's driver.
Oh, Car Stereo Joe, the guy who was kind enough he's kind enough to fix my car every time I break something on it. Excellent. What do you got there?
Well, Friday night, my boss gave me tickets to the Blazer game, and Joe and I were out having a beer on the lower level patio.
When you saw a figure rush by at about 40 miles an hour.
Dude, it was totally creepy. We thought somebody tried to jump the fence fell coming over, and apparently she fell off the 300 level, like, right in front of us.
Oh, and well, she lived. I mean, she just got messed up legs. Isn't that right, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, which is amazing. That's why we can kind of make fun of her. I mean, you're lucky that all you do is mess up your leg. You're falling that far. So you saw it happen.
I saw the whole thing go down.
Damn, it was totally creepy, I bet. I wonder if anybody has it on tape.
I didn't see anybody out there with a video camera, but...
Oh, that's too bad.
Now, was she able to finish the cigarette?
as she's going
into... She was face down, so she had the cigarette. I couldn't see it.
As she's going to get her MRI, must finish Camel Street.